I'd like to welcome our next guest is Marco Tavazzi from MT Wines, which makes wine out of Heathcote. Good morning, Marco.
Morning, Phil. Thanks a lot for having me on the show. I feel very honored to be here.
Well, thank you for making time to come on. And I will say off the start, you did drop off a box of samples for me. You gave me four bottles of wine to try with the idea that I will sell them later on. And I did actually order one of the wines because I enjoyed it. And that's very normal in the wine industry, especially now that we can't catch up and try wines together. But so thank you for the samples. But also wanted to let people know that I did actually, you gave me some free stuff, but that's not why you're on the show.
On the show to share my wine journey and tell about my business and how it all started and thanks for I'm happy that you enjoyed my wines. Really grateful for that. So
before we get to the wines, Marco, I'm judging by your accent that you're not from around here.
Absolutely not. I'm Italian born and bred. I'm from the northeast part of Italy, from a little city in the middle of the Alps. It's called Trento. Grew up there. I grew up, surrounded by the vineyards that planted all over the region, where, of course, soil available because it's 90% mountain. There are plenty of vineyards, especially at the base of Mount Pondone, which is the big mountain that towers over my city. And especially for that reason, my partner Porsche and I decided to call the brand MT Wines. MT stands as mountain and pays homage to Mount Pondone. If you have a look on the front label, appears to be fingerprints that actually like the contour lines of the Mont Pondone. So pays homage to that mountain and always reminds me where I come from and the place where I developed my passion for viticulture and winemaking.
And if you want to if people want to see those wine labels or read about you, it's MT as in the letter M, the letter T, and then wines.com.au. They can jump on and have a look there. Now, Marco, was your family involved in the wine industry when you were growing up?
Not directly. Actually, my nonna, my grandma, used to own a little paddock, probably like half an hectare or something like that. And it was planted on kiwi fruits, but also some vines, some Merlot. So when I was a kid, I remember all of my family every year harvest time would go there and help. So it's actually the land was run by my father's cousin, which is a farmer by profession. So we would help him to pick all of the grapes and then the majority of them would be delivered to the cooperative local winery to make bulk wine. We will keep some for just house consumption. So that's the little connection with agriculture I have as a background. But other than that, my dad owns a printing company. And my mom is a pharmacist, so I don't have that background.
And so, fast forwarding, you're now here, you're making wine in Australia from Heathcote grapes and a bit from Yarra. How did you go from the foot of Mount Pondone to Heathcote in Australia? What was the transition there?
Well, after finishing my studies, university, so I did a short degree, 3 years degree in Trento, and then I did my master's studies in Turin, so another 2 years. And then after my studies, like many others of my colleagues or uni mates, I would say, went overseas for a harvest. So I went to New Zealand. I was working in the South Island in the Nelson region, and then as lots of people do after harvest. You know, you got a couple of months spare to travel around before going back home, and then once I got to Auckland, just to just a few days before catching a flight back to Italy, I met my current partner, Portia. She's from Australia. So yeah, I went back to Italy, and then I came back to Australia, and yeah, that's how I ended up here. She always says that I came back for her, but I always make up the excuse that I really wanted to do a harvest in Australia.
It can be both. Yeah, so, it can be both, right? Yeah.
What's that? Sorry.
It could be both reasons.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. So yeah, that's why I ended up here. Before starting MT Wines, I've been here for 7 or 8 years all up, but I gained some more experience in different wine regions. So I went to work in the Adelaide Hills for Ferdinand, did the harvest there.
Yeah.
Then I went to Kellermeister in the Barossa Valley. Then I moved up to Queensland in the Granite Belt, and then in the Hunter Valley before settling here in Melbourne in 2015, where I joined Hollows Creek Estate. And in 2017, I started MT Wines. So my employer, Franco Danna, was kind enough, to let me make my own stuff at the facilities. And I've been there since 2015, and still going. So
Franco, we chatted to on the show a little while ago now, I can't remember, but
really? Okay.
Yeah, what amazing wines they make, and what a great place to be able to learn as a mentor.
It's a fantastic site, and the wine are just outstanding. The wine making is it's I wouldn't say pretty basic, but we don't vary that much from one year to another. It's just the site is just an amazing site and produces such high quality grapes, and the wines, everyone knows, Aldous Creek Estate reputation around. So just fantastic place and fantastic people to work with. Give a shout out to Chris Bendel as well. He's the assistant winemaker, and he owns DCB Wines. And he makes fantastic wines too. So I'm in good company.
Absolutely. In good company. And I think you hit on the absolute key of great winemaking is it's the site, and then you don't do too much to it, because, the winemaker doesn't need to add all their tricks unless you've got to cover something. Is that fair?
That's my philosophy for MT Wines and our philosophy of Aldous Creek Estate. So the wine making is always minimal intervention. So we try to avoid acid, all of the wine making is really really simple. Depends from the site. We do some crush the stem or whole bunch pressing for the whites. Then and they get pressed into a tank, wrecked off lees, not too clear, still a bit cloudy. And then depends from wine to wine, they can start fermentation in tank and then finish in barrel, or they just go straight into barrel from juice and undertake fermentation there. For the reds, we do lots of Pinot Noir, so we don't crush the stem, we just the stem. So we like to work with whole berries just to start the fermentation inside them, so preserve those spicy characters, straight from like intrinsic characteristic from the grapes. And then depends from the tannin profile. Franco is really really cares about the tannins profiles, because we found out that in recent years the tannins, they've gotten rougher and rougher, like they've been extracting quicker and quicker during fermentation. So depending from the tannins profile, we decide whether do some punch downs or pump overs. After pressing, they go strain to barrel. They finish Malo in barrel, yeah, and then they age for 12 months for the estate label Pinot, and then the Premier Pinot ages 18 months, in oak before getting bottled. Yeah, and we don't use any fining or filtration.
Awesome, Marco.
We're just gonna
grab a quick break if that's all right, and then we'll come back and we'll chat about your wines and the site that you work from. Before we do that, I've got to say good morning to Graham Lang, the presenter of the Monday Morning Blue Show. When he can get in, he's just sent us a little reminder that a meal without wine is called breakfast. But Graham also said that the jury is still out. So, Graham, if you want to drink wine at breakfast, go for it. Maybe have a look up the MT wines because they're at a price where you could actually drink them for breakfast and not absolutely break the bank. But then if you're having wines at breakfast, you may as well drink amazing wine, right? I don't know. Maybe this requires a little bit more study. We'll get Angie from Wine Victoria to come back and and see what she says about that. We are on The Wine Show, 96.5 Inner FM. My name is Phil Smith. Joining me via Zoom is Marco Tavazzi from MT Wines. And Marco, being a good Italian boy, the first wine that you made under your own label was actually from Sangiovese from Heathcote.
Yeah, correct.
When I tasted your wines, so I've only tried the one vintage of them. Most of them are from Heathcote, but they're not big blockbuster sort of huge wines. They're actually quite restrained and compact as wines, which is something I really quite enjoyed about them. Is vineyard you source from in Heathcote, is it like in the middle, in the heart, on the Cambrian soils, or is it from another part of Heathcote?
Well, that's one thing I've been wondering as well. The vineyard I source from, it's the Camelback Vineyard, and it's on actually Cambrian soil.
Yep.
But it's not like the real deep, deep red Cambrian soil. There is a bit more sand in it, so yeah, there is a bit of component of Cambrian soil, but it's not like the pure, deep dark fruit like Volantino, very generous Ifco fruit. So which I really like as well, not to be like that, because I prefer wines that are more food friendly, rather, so they are not that fruit forward. They're more savory in the nose, but they're more generous on the palate. So they express higher acidity, higher tannins, and especially Sangiovese. It's a variety, I fell in love to, especially because I did my very first harvest back in 2006 in Chianti Classico, Villa Cafaggio.
Yep.
And Sangiovese was the king there, and I really, really liked the the capability of go along and very, very well matching with food, or like any kind of like tomato paste food, like pasta, pizza, but also steaks, everything like that.
So I'm wondering, since you've worked in Chianti and you've worked in Heathcote with Sangiovese, those regions to me don't seem all that similar. Chianti has a bit of the coastal aspect, and Heathcote's landlocked and seems ultra hot. Are there similarities?
Well, yeah. The soils are actually I wouldn't say very similar, but there is a common aspect that links the two soils. So they are both very rich in calcium, which Sangiovese really likes.
Yeah.
But Heathcote is a red deep clay, and Chianti, like the main soil type, is called Galestro, which is still clay, but it's more rocky, more stony. So it drains more. The Cambrian soil retains the water very, very well. Instead, the Galestro, it's more poor, so the vines suffer a bit more of hydric stress, especially during summer.
Yep.
And also the the climate is, as you said before, is quite different, because Idcot is extremely hot and dry in summer, and the temperature doesn't fall as much as in Chianti. So the wines that result from the two different regions, they are quite different. So Idcot is more fruit forward, a bit more generous. Chianti is more restrained. There is more spice, more earthiness in the wine, tobacco, underground kind of characteristic. I'm actually really happy with the result I got from my wine, because it's paradoxically more similar to a Chianti rather than a Idcot wine. So yeah, it's really interesting. I mean, I really don't have a answer, you know, scientific answer because of that. But I'm really happy with my Sangiovese, because it reminds me so much of Chianti. More austere, needs more time to open up. Even, you know, when you open a bottle, you need to wait good, you know, half an hour, 45 minutes before it really shows all of its character. So
I had your wines open for 4 nights, and I still felt like there was more to give. I felt like I just, you know, they just...
Yeah, I mean, everyone is different. Yeah. I wish I had more patience when I open my wines, because, you know, I open them and then I wish they did open up straight away, and then, you know, I keep trying, and then by the end of the night the bottle is gone. So yeah, I wish I had more patience to, you know, wait and see how much time it actually takes for the wine to show itself.
I reckon if you can drink your wines and, you know, be happy, and, you know, the last glass is the best glass, and you're onto the winner, right? That's what you want, and that's what hopefully your customers feel as well, is, you know, they finish it and go, wish I'd held on to it for a bit longer, but gee, I'm happy to have drunk that.
yeah, I agree, absolutely, yeah.
And yeah. So I'm wondering, there must be differences in the vineyard practice between Heathcote and Chianti to get Sangiovese of high quality. You know, do you have to pick earlier in Heathcote, or do you have to change the way the canopy is? You know, what are those differences?
Well, I can say straight away that, of course, because of the different climate, the Heathcote fruit tends to ripen earlier than Chianti, also because the elevation is different. So Chianti is much higher than Heathcote. So there are sites that are, you know, planted up to 600 meters above the sea level.
Really? So I didn't realize Chianti was that high.
Weirdly, it can be very, very high. Heathcote, it's lower, but it's, let's say that they both have cooling winds during night. Of course, much cooler in Chianti, less cooler in Heathcote. But so let's say in general the variety ripens quite late because of its high acidity as well. Yeah. So you need to stay more on the vine. But canopy management, the Sangiovese, for what I know, it doesn't really need much green harvest. Because the canopy looks it's not very dense, so it looks a bit nutrient deficient, but it's not like that in reality, because it's just the way it canopy looks. So you don't need to do leaf plucking at all. The aspect that you need to really work on Sangiovese is that it produces consistently high crops, so, and it's quite susceptible to botrytis. So you need to go through and drop quite a lot of punches to, you know, get the good balance. Also, because if it's overcropped, it tends to be too acidic, and the tannins are very, very rough. So yeah, you really need to drop some fruit to get a nice balance of acidity and tannins and fruit concentration.
And so, yeah, Marco, that actually kind of leads into something else that I've found with Sangiovese is, I think I've always preferred the Sangio that's blended with something else. Not even heaps of it, but maybe, you know, a bit of Merlot or a bit of Canaiolo, which I know is a local to Tuscany,
yeah,
but Shiraz. Does Sangiovese do better when it's blended, or do you think the straight Sangiovese still has like a lot to offer?
Well, I think that the idea of Sangiovese being blended with other varieties, it's the idea. It was like the predominant idea back in the days, especially in Chianti, when people really didn't know how to. It's not that they didn't know how to grow it, but they were rather overcropping it.
Yeah.
Then yeah. So of course, like plenty of acid, too much acid, too rough tannins. So they were blending it with more approachable varieties like Cabernet. Or Merlot, especially Merlot, it was making it much more approachable. But nowadays, I think, especially back in Chianti, more and more wineries, despite they are allowed to, blend it with other varieties, they tend to use more and more Sangiovese because they really, you know, learn how to, you know, grow it properly and crop it properly, especially. I think that, I really love Sangiovese, like, straight. I think is a really, really expressive variety. I love the acid line and the crunchy tannins. So I, especially on my wines, I really like the feeling that with which the wine finishes. So there is a nice acid cut, and then all of the grippy tannins, they come up at the end. Yeah, so I. Yeah, that is the aspect of Sangiovese, and more specifically, my wine I really like the most. Yeah, just the generosity of acid line that it tastes like in the aftertaste. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
fantastic, Marco. We have come to the end of our chat. Thank you for making time this morning. I know you've got a little girl at home who's very kindly had a nap while we've had a chat. She's been amazing. So thank you to your daughter for behaving.
She's been awesome.
If people want to find your wines, they can go to the website, which is MT. So
MT.
Just M for Mary, T for Tom, mtwines.com.au. The whole range is lovely. I've tasted them. There's more wine to talk about. We got stuck on the Sangiovese, but they're absolutely worth seeking out. And they're fantastically priced. I have to admit, I didn't look at the price until well after I tasted them, and I was expecting them to be twice as much. So I think, yeah.
Well, you're too nice. You're too nice, Bill. I just tried to make wines that I like, that I enjoy to drink, and being, you know, as much as ends off that I can. So I really wanna make the grapes pick from themselves and make wine that are true reflection of the sites where I source them from. So that's my approach to winemaking, what I like to do.
Fantastic. So. We'll keep doing what you're doing because it's working. Marco, thank you for talking to us this morning. We'll chat to you again soon, no doubt.
Thanks for having me. Thank you.
It was Marco Tavassi from MT Wines. Check out the wines on the website.